Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
You know what I find really funny? The bikes on Facebook, that like that one, you know? The one that you just showed me that looked cool, but it was in pieces.
Yeah.
They'll be like, it runs and rides.
So fat.
No, it doesn't run or ride, sir. It's actually...
I'm a giant today. Look at how big my hands look now.
Damn.
Did you notice in that dude's podcast, whenever my hand came up compared to all y'all's, mine was like gigantic next to everybody else's?
No, I didn't notice. Oh,
you have to go back and look. It's ridiculous.
That was fun, though.
Yeah, it was.
It's crazy.
You can't see Tori at all.
No. You can only see like half of your face. Yeah. Sometimes full.
Oh, so that's funny. So, like, I was probably just looking over here at Tori, and then I was just looking on camera. Yeah.
It's exactly what it looks like.
We're just talking to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And she tells the whole story, and you just hear it coming off from the right side.
You drink this, and I'll be ready.
I thought you said take a drink, not chug it.
Oh.
That's how she does things.
Oh, my bad. Now I gotta pour another one.
My bad. Let me add some more.
Ooh.
You want to try it?
Is it the same? Yeah, I was going to say, is it the same stuff Josh's got?
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to Dahmer me, are you? You didn't drug it.
Dahmer you?
Yeah, you didn't drug the wine, did you?
All right, you ready? You chopping off your wine glass?
Should I do it right here next to the dill? That can be our opening.
Okay.
Don't spill it.
Take all of it. Give me some. I need some wine.
I gave you some. That's your second glass. There's still a small drink.
Swig. So, true to form, we're drinking Stella Rosa again tonight. This time, Stella Rosa Black. It's good.
It's pretty good.
So get your snacks.
It's very grapey.
Get your snacks. Get your drink. Whatever else you...
Need to get cozy.
Need to relax. Did you see the radio station email I sent you?
Yes, I did.
So we will come over. I'll bring over the equipment this weekend so that we can record the commercial for it.
Yeah, we'll get Tori over there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll need all of us.
Mm-hmm. What radio station was that?
Midnight Real. Way to go. Turn that off.
It's always something.
It's always you. You always forget to turn yours off.
But normally my phone isn't in here like this.
You're fired.
And you're rehired because we don't have a third person. Or fourth person.
Just kidding, come back.
Yeah, but you're on reduced pay though. And we're taking your benefits.
You guys are getting paid?
Oh, we forgot to tell you, sorry. No, it's quite the opposite. It's negative over here.
I keep having to pay you guys. What?
You didn't pay?
No, maybe one day. Maybe one day we'll get paid.
Every time I do that afterwards, you should put that little meme of that guy off of Meet the Millers or whatever.
Any big news with you guys?
No. The kids have been killing it at their games, though. Good gosh.
Well, I mean, that's nothing new, though. Your kids have always been...
Jackson caught an interception during his game. He
made two solo tackles.
And like trucked the boys.
Like good like, tackles.
Yeah, good ones. May did some pitching with her select team this weekend. And of course, she makes a really good play. I had a hair appointment that day that I set up before I knew they were having games.
Mm-hmm.
So I left to go get my hair cut. And she makes an awesome play that Josh gets to see.
Yep. Yeah, it was awesome. And with that being said, he didn't record it either, did he?
No.
Yeah.
What, but to make it even worse is that their team records the games. Mm-hmm. So you can watch it live or go back and watch the videos. But where it happened, right where it happened, is just outside of frame. So you can't see it.
Mm-hmm. And the reason it was outside of frame is because he's got it framed down the foul lines. And they ran from
left field.
All the way from left field, all the way to the fence, and caught that girl out.
Dang.
Yeah.
Then immediately the next play after that, another one gets hit straight to her, and she catches that one out.
Yeah.
Like, it was a great, great little play, a couple of plays that she had. And actually, there were several good plays that happened that day, but that was just her specifically.
Yeah.
So don't hit it to her.
Yeah.
No. She's got a glove on her.
Mm-hmm. And she's fast. She uses those long legs, like three steps, and she's crossed the field.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, how about you? What you been up to?
Nothing. Staying busy. We're getting a lot done at work. Shout out to those guys.
You just got a new machine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's big stuff for our company. It's a big old machine, and it's basically going to be doing what us fitters do. And only thing it's going to leave us to do is putting plates on the beams and stuff. So hopefully all goes well.
Yeah, like an operator for that stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I don't want to talk too much about it. And then
get in
trouble.
It's a secret. Okay.
I know a little more than I should.
You haven't said anything about where you work, so.
Okay, that's fair. But I still listen to our podcast at work. So I'm going to be the one that gets me in trouble.
We're just going to stop right there.
I don't know anything about who's going to be running the machine. That's completely new to me.
Well, I didn't tell you later. Who was going to be running. But I'm just saying, like, there's going to be more opportunities for different positions.
There we go. Yeah, we're getting a whole new fitter. And he's going to be taking probably the 10 people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, supposedly this machine can spit the stuff out just as fast as anybody can fit it. So.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, well, as soon as we get that thing trucking, it'll be good for the company. But aside from work stuff, you know, just Hadley growing up, she's getting really close to walking. We just did her birthday.
Yeah.
I guess that's been a couple weeks ago, but I don't think I've been on here since.
I don't think so. I think you came on right before her birthday.
Yeah, so we got her birthday, and that was awesome. She loved all her little toys, and she's been playing in the tent. I meant to send you guys a picture, but I don't think it's sent in the group chat. I'll give you guys pictures later. So.
Yeah. Okay. Other than that, yeah. It seems like I just thought of something that I was going to tell you, and I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm recording with another podcast. Where I work at, they have a podcast for our business. And he doesn't do it weekly. I think he might do it monthly, but he wants to do a Halloween episode. And it's in Florida. But we own property in Florida, and there's a haunted bridge on that property.
Okay.
And so he's want me to come on and do like the haunted part of it. And then him and the guy that actually works at that location are going to talk about like the history of the property and stuff. So that'll be kind of cool.
Maybe you should talk to them about flying us out there to do a ghost hunt.
That would be cool. It'd probably make us drive, but you know.
I don't care if I have to drive. I'd still go do that. That would be so much fun.
That would be fun. We need to schedule the time when we do before Halloween, because for our Halloween episode, I'm going to cut this part out. I want to do, but I want to research it.
Well, don't forget, I leave on the 26th.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So maybe next Wednesday, we can all go out there. We'll have Tori come over and the three of us and go. Just look around, see what we can find. Do some ghost hunting.
We couldn't be really careful because they shut it down at certain points.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. So,
well, it's getting darker now.
Yeah, so. And if we're not out there causing trouble, if they pull up, we'll just tell them, "Hey, this is what we're doing." They'll probably just be like, "Okay, we'll leave."
Yeah,
yeah, and then that'll be a story to tell anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have that. Could be our thumbnail.
Do it for the
police siren. Yeah. Police lights.
We almost got arrested.
Almost got arrested. So, yeah.
Clickbait. I love it.
Clickbait. Wow. Well, I guess we can go ahead and dive into this week's episode if you guys are ready.
Okay. Oh, I thought we were already on.
Okay, we've been on. Yeah, but she's going to start telling us about what we're talking about.
Is this your first time?
What are we talking about?
Have you been here before?
I don't know.
We are doing the history of Halloween.
That sounds fun.
It is. It's so much fun. So, the history and origins of Halloween trace back thousands of years, blending ancient Celtic tradition, Roman influences, and Christian adaptations into spooky, candy-filled celebration that we have today.
Wow, that took a jump.
All right, well, over 2,000 years ago, in what is now Ireland, the UK, and northern France, the Celtics celebrated Samhain. It took me forever. Like, even though I know what it says, when you look at it, it does not look like it is spelled Samhain. Have you ever seen it spelled?
No, that's what it looks like.
Samhain is what it looks like.
Yeah, that's not how I would say it.
Yeah, okay. It's Samhain. The celebration was to mark the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter. At the time, winter was associated with death and darkness. The Celtics believed that the veil between the living and the dead was at its thinnest on the night of October 31st. The spirits of the dead could visit the living or may even cause mischief. Which I didn't go into a lot of detail, but like the mischief part, I always thought it was like the spirits they were talking about that would cause the mischief, but not necessarily, because over in Ireland, they really believe in the fae and like fairies. And that's what would normally bring the mischief. So you would have the spirits, coming to haunt you, but then the fae are over here like playing tricks causing havoc.
Mischief or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So the Druids were the priests, scholars, and spiritual leaders of the ancient Celtic people. They were said to have built huge sacred bonfires, offered crops and animals as sacrifices. So again, they would basically like leave stuff outside their door to hoping like when these spirits and fae would come, that they would come and get the food or whatever their offering was from their front door and be like, oh, goody, grab it and leave. I'm distracted by this. And they wouldn't come in their house and haunt them or
destructive stuff or whatever the case may be.
They wore animal skins to disguise themselves from wandering spirits. They also performed divination rituals trying to predict the future, especially concerning health, love, and fortune.
Well, that makes sense. I've always kind of wondered how we have gotten like the costumes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it came from.
There's even more later on. So that's kind of where it started. Again, they're trying to hide themselves from the fae and the spirits. And so if they see all these animals out there, they're like, oh, it's just an animal. We're not going to mess with them and go on and not mess with them. Because the Druids themselves did not write down their beliefs and practices, most of what we know about them come from the Roman and Greek writers, like Julius Caesar, and from later Irish myths and medieval texts.
Really? I wasn't
no, I was lying.
Just that far back.
I was lying. I'm just kidding.
Okay, heard.
What we do know suggests that rituals were deeply spiritual, symbolic, and connected to nature and the spirit world. These rituals were said to often be performed at night, especially during Samhain. The ritual would take place in a sacred grove, usually among oaks, near water, or on top of a hill where the stars and moon could be seen clearly.
So I have a prediction.
What?
Somebody just started stealing the offerings off of people's porches or whatever they would have in front of their doors or whatever. You say they were walking around in, animal skins?
Yeah.
Somebody was like, you know what? That's some nice bread right there. The bread we got at home.
Our bread is moldy. Look at this.
Yeah, that stuff looks good. Hold up. They got potatoes.
The homeless people were going after it.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
And then a couple years later, we had Halloween, right?
Basically, yeah. That's basically how it happens. Well, bonfires or torches would be lit and incense or herbs burned, and the offerings would be placed before the gods or spirits. Before starting the ritual, The druids would purify themselves by fasting and bathing in streams and then dressing in white robes to symbolize spiritual purity. See, you know, they're all about that purity. They would invoke the gods and ancestors by calling for their guidance and wisdom. They often use sacred objects such as mistletoe, oak leaves, or stones that they believed to hold special spiritual powers. Different tribes practice their own variations, and several methods are believed to have been used. Which I had heard several of these, but some of them, I guess I heard about it, I just didn't realize that's what it was called. Augury, which is the reading of natural signs, they would observe the flight pattern of birds and the sounds that they made. So like if a crow all of a sudden starts calling, or if a raven starts circling to the left instead of the right, they'd be like, oh, that's a sign from the spirits. Yeah. And then they would go back to their village or whatever and be like,
the crows spoke to
me. Yeah. Basically, yeah. Omen reading for fire and smoke, also pyromancy. Watching the flames in a fire and the smoke that it would put off, and then the direction the smoke or the cackling of the wood might reveal good or ill fortune.
So I'm just assuming here the Indians did that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that, because you're talking about this is over in Ireland and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how that became a thing. How they both just coincidentally did the same thing.
Watch smoke and fire. I think it's kind of like the psychology thing too. Kind of like what we were talking about with Bigfoot. You know, you have all these different tribes that are continents away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they have similar beliefs. They're just called different things or done just a little bit differently.
Okay, yeah, right, yeah.
So I wonder if it's kind of the same thing.
Right, like they probably don't have Bigfoot. They have, what's that other one called?
Yowie.
And Yeti. Yeti, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
There's a few others, too.
Yeah.
Sasuke.
Water or mirror gazing, also known as, do you know what that one is?
So I'm guessing when you're just looking in the water in your reflection.
Oh, I meant like the formal word for it. Scrying. Surely you've heard of scrying before.
No.
You really haven't?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, they would gaze into still water, polished metal, or obsidian to see visions or symbols. And I didn't know what obsidian was, so I looked it up. It's a natural occurring volcanic glass formed when lava pools so quickly it doesn't have time to crystallize.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
If you just play a little bit of Minecraft, you would
know that. Minecraft was, like, after my time.
Yeah, but it's also, I think it's in that Apocalypto movie, too, because I think the Incas and things like that used obsidian for weapons.
Oh, yeah, a lot of the Native Americans would use obsidian, because it's like, you're able to refine the edge to, like, almost a, what do they call that, like a medical grade.
It's actually 10 times sharper than a scalpel.
Yes, but it doesn't hold that edge, so that's why it's not.
Yeah, it's real brittle is what it is.
Yeah.
And there's actually, I was reading a thing where a surgeon had actually napped his own and requested that the surgery be done with those.
That's cool.
Because the actual incision, whenever you look under a microscope with a scalpel, it looks like tears, but with obsidian, it's almost perfect.
Yeah.
That's wild. Well, the druids would enter a meditative trance and interpret shapes, movements, or flashes of imagery from scrying. Casting lots or bones. Surely you've heard of that one.
We throw bones like bones.
No.
This is more of like a witchcraft type thing.
Okay.
I believe you pronounce it sortilege is how you pronounce it. Throwing sticks, stones, or bones that were inscribed with symbols onto the ground or in an altar. The pattern they formed was believed to be a direct message from the gods.
Okay.
So kind of like your alphabet soup, you know, you shake it up and right. It's like,
oh, what does it spell? Kind of like calling Miss Cleo.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that. I'm calling Miss Cleo. Dream interpretation. The druids would sleep in a sacred place after a ritual in hopes that the gods would send them dreams. After waking up, the druid would recount and interpret the dream's imagery and prophecy. Which all of this is kind of scary because you can just get any guy and he'd be like, the gods told me to do this, and then all hell breaks loose.
That's my biggest question about, like, the Bible and stuff like that, because it's been passed down by so many people and rewritten so many times. What if it is still the same? You know what I'm saying? What if it isn't somebody's political agenda 100 years ago?
Yeah. And it was...
That's the whole idea behind faith.
Yeah. Follow your political agenda, right?
Oh, no. No, no. Not that part. I mean, I guess that depends on what you're faithful in.
Right. Right.
It's all up to interpretation.
Yeah, no, it's completely understandable, completely rational fear.
Yeah. Well, sacrificial omens is a controversial account, I guess you call it. Druids examined the entrails of sacrificed animals to read signs about the future, which is very similar to what the Romans practiced as well. It's deemed to be controversial because it's debated that this may have been exaggerated by Roman writers to make the Celtics' religion seem a lot more barbaric than what it was. Again, kind of like interpretation. Did they exaggerate it to make them look bad and be like, oh, they're these bad people?
Mm-hmm.
These rituals were performed to predict the future of battles or kings, successful harvest, healing, and fertility, and receiving messages from spirit world and ancestors. They saw themselves not as fortune tellers, but as interpreters of the gods, reading the language written in the elements around them. When the Romans conquered Celtic lands around 43 CE, two of their own festivals merged with Samhain. The first one was Feralia, which was a late October festival to honor the dead. And then you have Pomona. Pomona was the goddess of fruit and the tree. Pomona was the goddess of fruit and trees and symbolized by an apple, which apples keep showing up in this a lot. I guess just because of the time of year. So that's kind of when they are harvested. Some of it even said, because this is all, you know, paganism, when you cut an apple in half, the seeds almost make a...
Star David?
What's it called? A
pentagram?
Pentagram. It almost makes a pentagram. And so it kind of represents that. Then you have this goddess where that was her whole thing, was apples. So, yeah, apples show up quite a bit. And that's another reason why we have it so heavily in the fall here, too. It's because it dates back from then.
Mm-hmm.
Then we throw in Christian adaptation. By the 7th through 9th centuries, the church sought out to replace the pagan festivals with Christian ones. So they didn't want to, like, stop them from believing what they did. They're like, go ahead and let them, but we're going to tell them it's wrong, and we're going to put our Christian twist on it,
mm-hmm.
and tell them, you know, you guys are Satan worshipers. We're the Christians. Our way is right.
That's crazy.
And so they put their twist on it.
And then the Crusades happen.
And that's so funny. Growing up, I remember having friends or whatever that their parents were like super hardcore Christians. And they still, even to this day, were like, you know, we're not doing Halloween. We don't celebrate the devil. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a neighbor behind us.
Yes, that one.
Yes, and they wouldn't let him watch Harry Potter. They wouldn't let him watch, like, anything with witchcraft or spells or Halloween.
Yeah.
Nothing. And yeah. I was just like, oh.
Shout out to Brandon Williams if he ever
sees this. Yeah. I didn't know this. You knew the kid.
Mm-hmm. And to school with him.
That's, like, all that we watch in our house. And so he's like, I'm not allowed to watch this. And I'm like, oh.
He grew up to be such a little black sheep, too.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
That's right.
That's what happens when you be straight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pope Boniface IV established All Saints' Day, also known as All Hallows' Day, on November 1st to honor saints and the martyrs. The night before, October 31st, would become All Hallows' Eve. It was then changed to Halloween. All Souls' Day occurs on November 2nd, and it focused on prayers for the dead, blending the pagan customs of bonfires, costumes, and food offerings with Christian observances. So that's where Halloween, the name Halloween, came from. Irish and Scottish immigrants brought Halloween traditions to North America in the 1800s. Trick-or-treating grew from old customs like souling and guising. Souling consisted of the poor, and they would go They would go door to door offering prayers or songs for the dead, and in return, they would receive soul cakes, a small pastry that represented a soul being saved from purgatory.
And whatever they nabbed out of the basket up front.
To what?
And whatever they nabbed out of the basket up front.
Exactly. And then you have guising. So guising occurred in Scotland and in Ireland. Children dressed in costumes or guises. And they would go house to house performing songs, jokes, or poems in exchange for food, coins, or treats.
Trick or treat.
The idea was still about honoring spirits and disguising oneself to avoid being recognized by the spirits. The phrase trick or treat would not appear until the 1920s. Starting in Canada.
Really?
Yeah. The earliest known The earliest known printed use was in 1927 in a newspaper in Alberta, Canada. It described children going door to door demanding treats and then pulling pranks if no treats were given. Trick or treat.
Okay, fair enough.
By the 1930s, the phrase spread to the United
I told you she wasn't done.
Can you hear me now? Done now. Till May walks back in.
Mm-hmm. Most of residual bark. She had that one built up. But she had to let it help it.
The energy just built up inside her until finally it released. Don't take that out of context.
This isn't an erotica podcast. Yeah. Josh.
It wasn't meant to be, but it sounded awful.
You get closer to the mic and whisper.
That's how I did the intro. Okay. One take. One take was all it took.
By the 1930s, the phrase spread to the United States, becoming a popular part of the Halloween tradition. During World War II, trick-or-treating was temporarily banned in the U.S. because of a sugar rationing. When the war ended, the sugar was more accessible again, and candy companies quickly revived the custom and promoted it very heavily. This blew my mind. Now, nowadays, May must have came in. Oh, dogs. Don't you love them? Nowadays, Americans spend roughly $3 to $4 billion on candy every year. For all right, let me go see what she needs real quick.
Pause.
No, you can't pause. You guys just have fun.
All right, it's a takeover. It's a hostile takeover.
Hostile takeover. I told Audrey on the last podcast we need to get one of those movie things.
Click.
Take 7.
Mm-hmm. Take 24.
Especially with the video.
Mm-hmm.
She's back. Let's quit talking about her.
Were your ears burning? And not just because you get a buzz going on?
I'll hear everything. Because I edit it.
Edit it.
Okay.
It was constructive criticism.
Okay.
We were just talking about how, you know, we were going to get one of those little clack thingies.
That'd be fun.
We might need it for as many times as we have to shoot these things every now and then.
Shut your mouth.
Ooh.
Okay, where were we? $3 to $4 billion on candy. Yep. And an average of 600 million pounds purchased annually.
I only attribute to probably about $20.
I thought you were going to say 20 pounds.
Yeah.
No, that's me.
Yeah, that's how much I eat. But I'm only giving out like $20 for the
start. So when Hadley starts trick-or-treating, are you going to do like we did and take your dad tax?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of it.
And when you open her like fruit snacks and stuff, are you gonna take your dad tax?
Yeah, sweetheart. She was born before Halloween last year. We got her whole bucket of candy.
We did the same thing with Addie because she was born October 17th. And everybody's like, are you taking her trick-or-treating?
The fuck yeah, we
Hell
are.
Yeah, we are. I'm getting my candy. Yeah. I was miserable. I was so sore, but I was like, I don't care. I'm getting my candy. And same thing with May because she was born October 18th. So we did the same thing.
I cannot imagine. I carried her the whole time last time. My moms were killing me by the time we got done. And she was so late. Yeah, well, she was also only like a month old, so there was no like, no, you didn't want to put that baby in a stroller. It's my first baby. I can't put that baby in a stroller. I'll now say, I can, but
I didn't do it with the girls because it wasn't as popular, but with Jackson, I did the baby wearing, and that is a lifesaver mm-hmm. with the right.
Like that was like the, yeah, the harness for your body. Yeah.
Yes.
Bjorn or whatever.
Yes. Because he was definitely my clingy baby. And so, and he only wanted mom. He didn't want anybody else. And so I literally, the only way I could get stuff done was just strapping them and then start cleaning. Lifesaver.
He didn't move out of our bed until last week.
He's what? Last week. It's been a few years. But you worked out of town a lot, and or you worked overnights, and it was just me. So it was a lot easier just to have him.
She got tired of getting up and walking yes. across the house.
And he was a breastfed baby, so he'd wake up two or three times a night to feed. Mm-hmm. And then I have to get up early to get the kids ready for school and go to work. So it was just easier just to let him sleep in bed with me, roll over, go to sleep. Well, the average household spends around $30 to $50 on candy for the holiday.
Good. I'm not feel bad.
The most popular candy bought. You want to take a guess on what the most popular candy bought for Texas in 2024 was?
Snickers.
That's not what Josh said.
I said Reese's when she asked me.
Sour Patch Kids.
What the fuck?
That's what I said. I never would have guessed that.
Approximately 973,833 pounds purchased for 2024.
Dude, my guess would have been for Sour Patch Kids would have been like California or something.
Nope, Texas. But you also got to think, it's still hot on Halloween. So a lot of times people won't do chocolate because by the time you get home, it's melted.
That's true. Everything's melted anyhow.
That's true. The second one was Reese's Cups, and the third was Starburst.
My feelings are hurt. How is Snickers not on that list?
Not there.
That's like not the best three. Candy you can buy.
What's the one candy you hope to get in our children's trick-or-treat bags?
All since we 100 grand no bars.
Oh, 100 grams are so good.
Oh, yeah.
But my thing is Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, and you know, the kids just don't like them for whatever reason.
Mine do.
Dude,
yeah,
we fight over them. That's luckily, usually my dad's favorite.
The kids don't like. I love Twizzlers. Love Twizzlers.
That's
and they don't like them. And I'm like, that's fine. I'll take them.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll get rid of them. Mm-hmm.
And that's always something. There's always like 10 times the amount of Twizzlers as there is any other candy in there.
Because they haven't ate it yet. Because yeah. They're eating as we go.
That is true.
And then you get to the car and they're still eating.
Yeah.
And then you get home and then you get to pick through the wrappers.
Yep.
That's exactly how Jack, even when it's at home, he fucking puts the wrappers back in the trash.
Insane.
At least they're not littering
them. Oh, no. It's still all over the floor.
What do I mean while you're out trick-or-treating?
When I go clean his room. House. Yeah. When I go clean his room and I move his bed, there will be wrappers under his bed to where I guess he went and snuck whatever after we went to bed. There will be like a fruit snack wrapper, a chip bag. Bro, what are you doing?
Throw it away.
Yeah, just throw it away.
Welcome to having a little teenage boy.
I have to say, if we're going to be doing this anymore, you're going to have to get me a more comfortable chair.
Okay.
This is awful.
We'll have to get a couple more of these.
Yeah.
Well, Halloween is now the second biggest holiday in the U.S., Christmas, of course, being number one. The U.S. spends an average of $10 to $12 billion every year on, like, costume, candy, decorations, parties, all of that.
Dude, F Spirit Halloween. I love that place, but easily.
It's expensive.
Last year, like I said, we took Hadley, and she was a little ooga booga, and I think I was Jack Skellington. And hers $60.
Yep.
Mine $70. Megan's $60 plus the makeup and the accessories. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, we was at $300. And I was, yeah. What in the world?
Yep.
You know, and people spend crazy money on that stuff. There's a like an effects guy that makes silicone masks, and he makes a killing off those things. He sells them for like anywhere from $600 to $1,000 a piece.
That's crazy.
But they're awesome. Mm-hmm. Man, they look good.
I still want to go back and get that mask for the wall.
Yeah, we need to go do that before we can't find it anymore.
Yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns came from an Irish legend called Stingy Jack. I had never heard of this one before.
I hadn't either.
A man known as Stingy Jack was a drunkard, a trickster, and a scoundrel. He was clever enough to cheat anyone, even the devil himself. So, on this story, Stingy Jack, he was at the bar one night, and the devil came in. He's like, hey, bro, what's up? Let's have a drink. He's like, cool. I don't have money to pay for this. Devil's like, don't worry, I got it. I can turn into a coin and pay for it, and then we'll get out of here. Stingy Jack's like, all right, cool, let's do it. So the devil turns into a coin. Stingy Jack grabs him and puts him in his pocket, and he's got a crucifix in his pocket that's made of silver. So now the devil can't turn out of a coin. He's stuck. So he makes a deal with the devil and says, I'll release you, but you can't come for my soul for X amount of years. Like, you can't come collect my soul. Devil's like, all right, you got me. Deal. So he lets him. He frees the devil. That however many years goes by, I think it was like 10 years goes by, devil comes back. He's like, all right, I'm here to collect your soul. Stingy Jack's like, okay, cool. But first, I need an apple. And there's an apple tree. You think you can hook me up with an apple? Devil's like, damn it. Okay, sure. Why not? He climbs up the tree, goes to get an apple, and Stingy Jack runs over and draws a crucifix on the trunk. Devil's stuck in the tree. He can't get out. So now he's humiliated because Devil Jack's just got him not once, but twice. And so Stingy Jack said, I'll release you, but you can never take my soul. Devil's like, all right, you got me. That's fine. So he releases the devil. So Stingy Jack dies later on. He's trying to go to heaven. And God's like, hell no, you done stole and greedy and you're going to hell. You're gone. So he sends him to hell. So Stingy Jack walks into hell and he looks at the devil and said, all right, I'm here. And he said, oh no, buddy, I can't take your soul. Go, get out of here. So he gives him a hot coal, a burning hot coal from hell. Said, here, you can use this to light your way through hell. So he ends up with a burning coal, and he ends up carving a turnip into a lantern so that he can put the coal in it and light his way to find his way.
Okay.
So that is where he was called the Jack, what's it called? He was called Jack of the Lantern. But this is, what did I say, Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
And so it turned into
Jack-o'-lantern.
To ward him off, villagers would end up carving their own turnips, beets, and potatoes, and light them with candles to make sure that they kept away Stingy Jack and the spirits. Have you ever seen a carved turnip?
I did today, actually.
It is Facebook. Creepy.
Yep. I didn't know you could carve a turnip. I didn't realize they were that big.
You ready?
I mean, they're not very big.
Yeah, that's cool. We're putting turnips on the porch.
Here's another one.
I love that. Maybe
that's even creepier.
It's so runny. Man,
it almost looks like this.
It looks more like Groot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am Groot. Yeah, so that's...
That's a little scarier version.
So, as time went on and they brought this over to America... Pumpkins were native here, and they were also larger and easier to carve.
Mm-hmm.
And so it slowly transitioned from turnips and potatoes into pumpkins.
Less scary, too.
A little bit, yeah, a little less creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where jack-o'-lantern came from. By the early 20th century, Halloween became a community celebration focused on parties, costumes, and games. In the early 1900s, Halloween in America was more about the parties, and more of like the fun of it rather than horror. Like horror really had nothing to do with it when it first started. It wasn't until 1950 through the 1970s that it became more of a spooky holiday. The rise in horror films morphed into a night of fright. However, in 1920, the first movie that debuted on Halloween night was a silent film called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Okay, and I was going to say Friday the 13th.
That's way later.
A few years later.
You said 1920?
Yeah,
Wait a minute.
Yeah, not quite.
I like where your head's at, though. That's one of my favorites.
Often when people think of Halloween, they think of certain color schemes and classic images of ghosts, spiders, skeleton, witches, and more. The classic orange, black, and purple of Halloween is not random. Orange symbolizes the harvest, warmth, and autumn leaves. Black represents death, night, and the coming winter. And purple represents witchcraft and magic.
Gives me a little bit of like a spooky vibe too, you know, like spirits and stuff. So.
Yeah. Before the Middle Ages, black cats were revered in many cultures, especially in ancient Egypt, where they symbolized protection and fertility. The reputation as bad omens didn't spread until European witchcraft panic linked them with dark magic. Mm. Owls were also thought to be connected to witches. In medieval Europe, hearing an owl hoot on Halloween night meant someone was about to die or that a witch was nearby watching you in animal form.
Spooky.
We have an owl out here. Mm. You go outside, you can hear him.
Ooh, ooh. It's because of witchers here.
Yeah. I always tell Groot, it's funny. I've got Groot now to where if we're outside, I'll say, you hear them coyotes? You better get inside. Them coyotes are going to get you. And his little, he starts running through the door. When you think of Halloween, many also think of witches with their iconic pointy hats, brooms, cauldrons, and the black cats.
And that hideous cackle.
However, all of these symbols may have originated from medieval women who brewed ale. In medieval Europe, brewing beer was a woman's work, known as alewives or brewsters. These women made and sold ale from their homes, providing one of the most essential beverages of the Middle Ages, a safe, nourishing drink in a time where water was often contaminated. Alewives developed distinct symbols of their trade. They often wore tall, pointed hats so they could stand out in a crowd in the marketplaces and recognized by customers. Outside their doors, a broomstick or bundle of straw might be placed to signal that a fresh batch of ale was ready.
I'm shocked, and they weren't burned at the stake or drowned?
We're not there yet.
Okay.
So the broomstick or the straw was like a open for business sign for them, basically. Their cauldrons, filled with frothing mixtures of grains, water, and yeast, were the tools of their trade, and while cats kept the grains stored safe from rodents. But as brewing evolved from a domestic craft to a lucrative commercial industry, men began taking over.
Wow.
Women brewers, once respected community figures, were gradually pushed aside, and in the process, their image was twisted. The alewife's pointed hat, cauldron, broom, and cat were transformed into the now familiar imagery of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they were burned at the stake. By the early modern period, as superstitions and witch hunts spread through Europe, the once practical symbol of female entrepreneurship had become signs of devil's work.
So do you think that maybe this whole witch hunt thing, maybe it was more or less these like business owners being like after the small business owners, you know? Like,
oh yeah, I 100% had a lot to do it. Kind of like we were talking about beliefs and your political agenda. Mm-hmm. They were in their way.
Or they banked on the fact that there were so many Christians out there and they were like, there's witches out there. Mm-hmm. And they practice the devil worship. And
yep.
I mean, they actually coincidentally used to brew all our ale, so.
Yep.
But it's funny how quickly we forget things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what had begun as a uniform of working women became, over centuries, the costume of the witch. Not all the images were bad omens, though. Old folklore says that if you see a spider on Halloween night, it means a loved one's spirit is watching over you. Halloween, a night of laughter, costumes, and candy, yet behind the glow of jack-o'-lanterns.
It's hitting hard.
And the thrill of trick-or-treating, danger has sometimes lurked in very real ways. Statistics show that on this night, violent crime spikes nearly 50% above normal, with assaults, robberies, and vandalism more likely to occur, while property crimes rise by double-digit percentages. Drunk driving accidents and pedestrian injuries, particularly involving children trick-or-treating, add a somber note to the festivities. There's been a few times that we've gone out and it's people are driving stupid or it makes you nervous. I really like that park over where we live, go. Because everybody parks at the end of it. And then you watch your kids walk to the end of the street, and then you slowly drive and go to the next one, and you just block by block go. There's not a whole lot of car traffic. It's mainly people just walking on foot.
You think that, I don't know. It's probably just because more people are out and about, right?
And the parties. Everybody's partying, and it's the witching hour, or it's, dark holiday, so let's get up and go see what we can do. I know we used to have some crazy parties on Halloween.
And then, to add on top of that, as far as, the destructive manners and stuff like that, assaults and robberies, and there's a lot of people wearing masks, so I feel like it's an easy thing to get away with.
What was it called? Guises? It's a guise.
It is a guise. These guises are wearing guises.
Beyond the numbers, Halloween has its share of real-life horror stories. In the 1970s, Michael Farmer was tragically murdered on Halloween night, his fate sending shockwaves through the community. California witnessed the terrifying stabbings of the so-called Halloween Massacre. It was a series of attacks that left families shaken for years. And while fictionalized in the films, the story of Michael Myers draws chilling inspiration from unsolved attacks and murders that occurred on Halloween nights. Real people, real terror, feeding the legend of the holiday.
That's cool. I didn't know that was loosely based on a story.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't either. But that is a really good show. I think my favorite one is the 2009 version. And that's the one where the opening scene, when we went to the theater and watched it, that opening scene was so intense. Like, the first 7 to 10 minutes of that movie is just insane.
Yeah, like, everybody applauded.
Oh, everybody stood up and applauded right after that scene. It's so good.
In 1974, a tragedy shook the nation. 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien of Deer Park, Texas, which I may have that wrong because I was actually researching that for another case, and it said Pasadena, Texas. So Deer Park, Pasadena, is that the same area?
Don't give me the wine. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
Texas, okay. He bit into a cyanide-laced pixie stick given to him on Halloween. His father, Ronald Clark O'Brien, had poisoned the candy, not just for his son, but other children as well. Timothy's death sent shockwaves through communities, igniting a nationwide panic. Were our children truly safe on this once innocent holiday?
That's cold.
Which I'm actually going to cover that case. I think that's the case that I'm going to cover with you. I told you I want to do a true crime one. I think that's the one I want to do with you.
That'd be all right. And that's crazy.
Your own child.
Yeah. And others.
Oh, and he had multiple children, but if I remember right, he was just the only kid that happened to eat the pixie stick. The other were like, oh, I'm going to save it for tomorrow. But they didn't know it was him for the longest time. They thought somebody in the community gave it to him.
That's so cool. Why? And he thought he could probably get away with it like that.
Life insurance. He took life insurance out on all of his kids.
Which is a great idea, by the way.
Stop.
I have life insurance. Everybody. Well, I'm just talking about the kids.
Right, yeah. But don't just suddenly pull them out.
I'm just saying. You never know what can happen.
Right, right.
I mean, we've suffered a lot of loss here the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And the life insurance has really helped people out every time.
Yeah, I mean, apparently not even dying is cheap, so.
It's not.
No, it's not.
It's really not.
And I always heard that, but you don't realize it until someone close to you where you're actually responsible for it passes away. And then it's like, holy crap, mm-hmm. what are we going to do? How mm-hmm. are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, how could you die? Fucker, come back.
Sometimes it's a total surprise. But then in other cases, you know, it's inevitable and you watch it happen for years before they're finally gone. And you think you're prepared and you think you have everything ready. But you haven't really scratched the surface.
No. Well, you know, Sarah was telling me, and I thought about, speaking of a morbid subject, I was thinking about looking at it. But we don't want to be buried, so I guess it wouldn't help us. But there is a cemetery in Tyler to where you can actually, like, rent to own your plot. And so you make payments on it until it's paid off. And then they hold it forever until
you go.
You go, and then you
can be buried there. Yeah. And then they just have to worry about the casket mm-hmm. and stone.
Yeah.
Which is insanely priced.
Very expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. I think. And like even just to have, if I remember right, when Dad passed, just to have him in a viewing casket was like $1,500 to $2,000. Mm-hmm. Just to rent that thing. Wasn't even his real casket.
The one he's going to get buried in. That's
it was crazy. Just the viewing casket.
Yep.
Wow.
And then your headstones can be anywhere from a couple of $1,000 to however much
you want to go into it. Yeah.
But they're insanely priced. But honestly, I think the funeral industry is kind of just like a.
It's kind of like the wedding industry.
Yeah, kind of similar to it. You know, it's been commercialized over the years, and it's honestly, it's more of a disservice anymore than it actually serves
people. Yeah, because you're already grieving your loved one that just passed, but then you go into debt trying to make sure you
do right by them
by everybody else's standards.
Or even, what do you call that? Traditions.
Yeah.
You know, the traditions have to be the same. No, they don't.
Which I've been seeing that a lot with the weddings, too. You know, when I was working the weddings, a lot of our wedding, I did it just because that was tradition.
Which is another form of a funeral.
But I did our wedding based on a lot of traditions that I'd just grown up, and that's what you do at weddings. But a lot of the weddings that I've been working now, a lot of people are getting completely away from traditions and just doing it how they want to do it. And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, back to your story.
Back to the story. Back to kids eating candy.
Sorry about that.
So family started inspecting every piece of candy, and parents kept children close, wary of the shadows that could conceal something far darker than a simple prank. Ronald O'Brien, later known as the Candy Man, was excused. He was not excused. He was executed in 1984.
By a cyanide pixie stick?
He should have been.
Mm-hmm. Given like three of them, been like one of them's poison.
Good luck! Halloween is a time when shadows feel longer and the air colder, and the line between myth and reality frighteningly thin. This often brings people to blur that line with haunted houses. The very first haunted houses in America weren't about scares. They were about keeping kids out of trouble. Which we went to a haunted house. I figured this would be a good time to tell about our haunted house experience. I think it was the first one you and I went to together here by ourselves.
Was it the first or the second? I can't remember. I can't, because I remember we went to one, it might have been the same time, because I think we went to a couple that year.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
Well, he had just moved down here, and we're like, all right, let's go to a haunted house. And everybody had been talking about, I think it was called the JC Haunted House. I
don't remember what it was called.
So I was like, okay, let's go check it out, because everybody's talking about how good it was. So we go in, and It was messed up. But it wasn't like a scare, like jump scare haunted house. It was one of those, we didn't know it, but it was like one of those ones put on by a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're walking in. I can't remember the first thing that happened. The
first thing we did was we took that short little hayride.
And there was like a wreck, a drunk driving wreck.
I think there was like somebody in a hut before that, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like the junkie scene or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one it was. But then the second one was the wreck.
Okay. And then you, like, and of course there's like blood and somebody hanging out of a car and they've got actors everywhere and like going crazy. And then, no, the junkie one was the second one because then we walked up there because that's when, so they have this scene where this man's like beating the shit out of his wife or daughter. I can't remember. And he's drinking and she's doing drugs. And
pretty sure it was his wife.
And then he looks at me and he goes, "Is Josh beating you?" And I'm like, Josh and I look at each other like, how does he know your name? And like we're kind of tripping for a minute or two, and then I happened to walk in front of Josh. I was wearing his Letterman jacket and had Josh scared the crap out of me for a minute. We're like, did we sign something? Like, how do they know your name? But I was wearing his Letterman jacket.
Not even gonna lie, I'll be wearing my work shirts and we'll go out to eat and they'll like already know my name and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How you know that?
And then they have you go, did they lock us in the coffin before or after the Jesus? After
that one was the abortion one.
Oh, yeah. They had a whole abortion scene. Like, very graphic abortion scene.
It was, like, real bloody, and they were, like, cutting parts off of babies and stuff and putting it in a bowl.
It was
insane.
Awful. It was awful. Right. This is like circa 2006, 2007, something like that. It was bad. And then they lock us. They're like, okay, you're going to go in this coffin.
First of all, it was underground.
Yeah, you had to walk down this little embankment. And they're like, open a door and they just shove you in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John, I was tiny. I weighed all 100 pounds. And he wasn't very big at that time either. But with both of us in there, like, you couldn't move. And they locked us in there for a while.
It was a couple minutes.
And so we're like, what do we do? Like, are they going to let us out? Like, what's happening? Because, again, we didn't know it was a church haunted house. We just thought it was a regular haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let us out, and that's when Jesus gets whipped.
Yep. It was like two separate rooms underground. I'm assuming they were just some big Connex boxes that they buried and just cut a hole in the center, and then they had the coffins in between the two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they'd open the door on the other side, and you'd basically fall in that room. That's how it was set up. And as soon as you go in there, there's this dude just whooping the shit out of Jesus.
And Josh and I look at each other like, what is happening? Where are we?
Right? And the whole time he's just whipping him. And like, obviously they got like some fake stuff going on, but it looked real. Mm-hmm. It really did. And they even had like stuff all over his back that looked like torn flesh. And as he's doing that, something hits me in the face.
He had blood. And so by this time, we're like, I want to leave. Like, yeah. This is too much. But that was the end of it. So we're like, okay, cool. Let's get the hell out of here.
Time to go home. God.
They shove us into a room and force us to pray with them because we're going to hell.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
It was so awkward. Which, I mean, we believe in Jesus or whatever. Like, that's cool. But don't, like, force me to go through this and then be like, you're going to hell. You need to come pray with us. We're like, okay, we just want to leave.
Suddenly you feel like you need to go to church every day.
In fact, it made me feel the opposite way.
We got in the truck and we just sat there for a minute and we were like, what the hell happened?
And we paid like $35 a piece to get into that thing.
Yeah. Needless to say, We didn't go back to that one.
We were fans of that. That was the last time we went. And it didn't last very long after that either.
No, it was like, I think it was around maybe another year, maybe two.
I think maybe it lasted for maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 years total.
Yeah.
But then it got shut down.
Yeah. Like, it was very graphic. Very graphic. And for us to say it's graphic.
That's saying something.
It's graphic. It was bad. It was wild.
Definitely unexpected.
Yeah, especially when you think it's like a jump scare and you walk in and Jesus is getting whipped. And
it's like a DARE program, but real life.
Yeah.
Exactly how it felt. It felt like almost like a DARE program. It was crazy.
Well, back to the story. During the Great Depression, Halloween pranks got out of hand. Vandalism, fires, and property damage were common. So in the 1930s, communities started hosting supervised haunted houses and parties to channel youthful chaos into safe scares. The earliest known haunted attraction was created in 1915 in Liphook, England. It was called the Orton and Spooner Ghost House. It featured animated skeletons, shaking floors, and eerie sound effects.
Wow, that's pretty...
pretty groundbreaking for that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modern haunted attractions rely on psychological thrillers, darkness, sudden noises, and anticipation more than blood or violence.
Maybe that's what it was there. It was just all psychological.
Except for that one. The key is building tension and releasing it, a mix of fear and adrenaline that actually makes the brain release dopamine, similar to the thrill of a roller coaster. One of the most notorious haunted houses is McCamey Manor. Have you ever heard of this
one? Yes, I've heard of it.
Okay. Deep in the quiet backroads of Tennessee, there's a place that's earned a reputation as the most extreme haunted attraction in the world. But this isn't your typical house of horrors, filled with costume monsters and jump scares. This one's real, painfully terrifying, and to enter, you don't pay money, you bring a bag of dog food. Before stepping foot inside, you must pass a background check, get a doctor's note, and sign a 40-page waiver that warns you you could be bruised, cut, shaved, or even lose teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Russ McCamey, the man behind the madness, calls it a mind game. He insists it's not torture. It's the ultimate test of fear. But for those that have gone inside, the line between game and trauma quickly blur. Guests are blindfolded, submerged in water, screamed at, and psychologically broke down. All while cameras record every second of it. McCamey claims it's all about mental endurance, but thousands who have tried to conquer it tell a very different story. No one has ever finished McCamey's Manor, normally lasting about McCamey's Manor 10-hour experience, and yet people keep signing up, chasing a $20,000 prize that so many feel it's impossible to win. It's called the most controversial haunted house in the world, and for good reason. Petitions have demanded it be shut down. Critics call it legalized abuse, but every participant signs the waiver, and every scream, every tear is considered consensual.
Well, that's crazy, because how's he allowed to do this, but some of our big, you know, superstars and stuff like that can have freak-out parties and
they don't have them sign waivers.
Oh, is that where they screw up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough.
CYA.
Yeah.
That is not appropriate, sir.
I mean, you know, that was just for example. I'm sure there's other crazy stuff that goes down in Hollywood that we don't know about.
Oh, I guarantee
you there is. It's a lot. But that's...
I think I've seen a documentary on that once.
Oh, we watched it together.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
it's
on Hulu.
A few years ago.
At least it was on Hulu. Yeah, it was on Hulu.
That's pretty interesting. You said that's it?
So,
wow.
It's been interesting to kind of learn where Halloween's come from and what it stemmed from and kind of how, like we've talked about, how things get passed on through generation to generation, how it's
changes
derived.
Yeah. I never knew that about the witches stuff, the ale brewers. That
I didn't either.
It was pretty cool to
learn. Probably one of those things our history books forget about.
Mm-hmm.
or they chose to
Yep, leave that one out.
It's better just to say that they had like a, what was that time called? The Salem witch trials? It's better just to say that they were hunting witches and they were driving out
women, powerful women that were making money and actually doing good. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They were just witches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The women didn't really have a whole lot of rights then.
No. Well, it's been fun, guys.
Yeah.
It has.
Thank you. Make sure you listen to this week's episode. It's really good.
Oh, my God. It's so
Get ready to cry. I cried twice while recording.
So I can't listen to it at work.
You have to listen to work. It is so good, though. It really is good. Ooh. I think I cried because I connected with, well, both her and the mom so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the different stages in my life, I could see both. It was heartbreaking. So, and if you guys haven't listened to it, go listen to the J.C. Dugard episode. Heart-wrenching. Absolutely heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. Josh called me after he listened to it. And he goes, I am so sick. And I was like, what's wrong? So
devastated.
No, you said sick.
Did I?
Yeah. And I was like, what's wrong? And he goes, I just listened to this week's episode. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, we're good.
So, yeah, it's not serious, but
oh man, it was terrible in a great way.
Yeah. And then make sure to like, follow, subscribe, everything. I know we ask every week. Our numbers are growing, though, so that's great. Like, all of our social media is growing. Our listens are growing. We have a lot of cool stuff. If you haven't checked our podcast out with Corky on the Paranormal War Room, we talked about it last week, but that's about the time the video cut out. So make sure to go check out Corky on YouTube, the Paranormal War Room. He also has a podcast called Remember That.
It is.
And it's they go and cover horror movies and go listen to it. And I think Josh and Seth may go do an episode on that with them.
We have officially been invited.
Yeah, you've been invited back. So
good.
And then I've got the one coming up with Paul, and then we've got our radio station that we got to get all that stuff ready for. So a lot of big stuff's happening. Make sure to follow us so you don't miss anything out. Miss out on anything. Guys, it's 9:40, okay?
She's like bottle of wine deep.
I'm fried. I'm done. So yeah, I guess that's it. Y'all not have anything.
Did you not say something the other day about possible merch in the future?
Sweaters, yes. So I've got I'm making a couple of sweaters now. If you guys want a Guilty and Ghostly sweater, once I have them made, I'll post them. And that way, if you want to purchase them, we'll have to do pre-order because we're funding all of this, guys. And my kids are expensive and we're not rich. We're very broke.
And they cost more and more on a daily basis.
I know. So if you guys want a sweater, let us know. We'll get those pre-ordered. And I will personally be making them. I may have these guys start weeding the decals for me. They're fixing to learn how to cricket and...
Thing gets too deep into it, I'm just gonna buy you a sublimation kit.
Okay. So yeah, pre-order those. Thinking about trying some cups. We'll see what I have time. My busy time's coming at work too, so it just kind of depends on what it allows. So I might need these guys to pick up the slack.
I'll do what I can.
Okay. Hadley's getting older. She's getting the hand-eye coordination down.
There's between her use and May for free child labor. There we go. All right. We got it figured out. All right. Well, that's it. So I guess till next week. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.
It's not Halloween yet.
Is it? We'll be soon. Halloween episode? Wait a minute.
No.